So I'm especially honored to speak to this group because there's people in here that I know some of this better than me. So hopefully this is just a different take, maybe than you've heard it. So everything that I'm going to be speaking about, it speaks to all four of these. So these are the four pillars of SCCI. You have the kingdom leader side and you have the kingdom company side. So you can apply this to whichever is most in your mind at this moment. If you're really in a period of working on your leadership, you can apply it to that. Or if you really need to work on your organizational excellence, you can apply it to that. So I have always been fascinated by patterns, very large-scale patterns, and natural laws. A long time ago, I was able to study in Oxford the scientific renaissance, and when I was studying that, I was able to study chaos theory. And I don't know if you know chaos theory, but chaos theory is basically there are some systems that they look like absolute chaos, but when you pull back far enough, you see that there's a very loose type of order. You can do this all the way to galaxies. And in fact, there's a little video that does that. But I've always been fascinated also by natural laws. So the scientific renaissance, basically, they were looking at natural laws and applying them to scientific inquiry. And of course, we also have God's laws, which are the Ten Commandments, as well as His way. I mean, He created everything. So if you go against the way the very fabric of nature was created, you're going to have problems. So my inquiry led me to this idea, which is, does God have a preferred method of growth, both for organizations and for us personally as leaders? And of course, as the title suggests, yes, I think it does. So I would suggest to you that he does, and it is the exponential growth function. So let's just go into very briefly what is the exponential growth function. Please understand, I'm not an engineer like some of the people in this room who are much smarter than I am. This is more layman's terms. So the exponential growth function is a mathematical function used to describe the size of anything that is growing steadily, for example, at 5% a year. It's in a situation where the time required for the growing quantity to increase by that fixed fraction is constant, like a year. And this is very important. If it takes a fixed length of time to grow 5%, then it follows that it takes a longer fixed length of time to grow by 100%. This is called the doubling time. One of the videos I'll show, he speaks about the doubling time. So it's very important to know what that means. And it looks like this. This is the exponential growth function. You always have a kind of a long, flat part, and I call it the long slog. If anyone's gone through that, you know what it's like. And then you have liftoff, which is the part that all of us hope we can be in. So an example is the Fibonacci sequence. That is an exponential growth function, and it's a series of numbers in which each number is the sum of the two preceding. And, of course, it produces an exponential growth path. And it looks like this. 1 plus 1 is 2. 1 plus 2 is 3. 3 plus 2 is 5. 5 plus 3 is 8. And so on and so forth. Probably what's most important to note is look how fast it goes up. Especially right here. You really can learn a lot just by asking the Lord to look at a graph like this. And it looks like this. So look at that. You're going from 1 to 1 is 2. 2 plus 2 is 4. Right? 4 plus 2 is... I mean, it goes on. Excuse me, I'm doing the wrong numbers. But that's basically what it looks like. And it's even longer at the tail end, right here. So let me give you just, when I was speaking about natural law, this is a 3-minute little video that explains, and I'm going to have to take my mic off and put it in here just so you can see it, where you find all this. Oops. Excuse me. If I can
I can find my cursor. There you go.
There's a little music, but...
The sequence begins with the numbers 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, and continues indefinitely. Each number is obtained by adding the last two digits together. If we were to take a perfect or golden rectangle, break it down into smaller squares based on Fibonacci sequence, and divide each with an arc, the patterns begin to take shape. We begin to see Fibonacci's spiral. The spiral in and of itself is insignificant. Its importance is revealed in where we find it. Take, for example, the sunflower. The display of its florets are in perfect spirals of 55, 34, and 21, the sequence of Fibonacci. The fruitlets of the pineapple create the same spiral based on the sequence. The pine cone does the same. As currents move through the ocean and the tide rolls onto the shore, the waves that bring in the tide curve into a spiral that can be mathematically diagrammed onto a plot at the points 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, and 55. Buds on trees, sand dollars, starfish, petals on flowers, and especially the nautilus shell are formed with this exact same blueprint. With each segment of growth, the nautilus adds to itself one more value on Fibonacci's scale. This blueprint can be seen around us on a small scale every day, but the greatest example of all is directly above our heads. At an average of 100,000 light years across, even the spiral of the galaxies above us are formed with the exact design that the tiny shell is formed. This sequence, or blueprint, appears to be the trademark of a designer.
All right. What's particularly fascinating, by the way, is if you look up, if you try to study Fibonacci's number on YouTube, every single religion has a video about this. The Sufis have it, the Muslims have it, Jewish have it. It's fascinating. Just an aside. Can I get out of here? Okay. So the point is, we see patterns based on exponential growth everywhere. Everywhere. You can't go anywhere in nature without seeing that. But the real question is, does this apply to a completely human institution growing a human institution like a business which is shot through with sin? And the answer is, of course. God is sovereign. His design governs and affects all things, all the time, regardless of how much we can sin. So here's the conflict. You always hear in the Bible about the world's ways are opposed to God's ways. And so much of the time we have unbiblical and unfaithful assumptions and expectations that we never even stop to consider because they're so deeply ingrained in our humanistic culture. But they're never expressly discussed. And what I would suggest to you is you have the conflict between the concept of linear growth and exponential growth. This, of course, is a linear growth path, and we all love it because that's what we assume that our businesses and our lives should do. It's predictable. It's fast, which I put in quotes for a reason. You will see later. Controlled growth, where we can always stay the master. I know where I'm going. See? That next point. How predictable. If you remember Bruce Cook and his series on strategic faith planning, he talked about linear growth expectation comes from the human tendency toward projection planning. Projection planning, you do it three steps. You benchmark from the past, you grow based on your present resources, and you project a percentage increase, right? So you benchmark, you look at your present resources, and you project a percentage increase. I think I can do this year. The problem is it's completely unfaithful. And Bruce Cook does it so much better than I do. If you want to look at that, look at strategic faith planning. The problem is we're benchmarking from past flawed experience. I don't know about you, but I often come out of an experience thinking I probably learned, a couple of the 1,000 lessons God probably wanted me to learn. And also, I forget from year to year. It doesn't take into account God's unlimited resources. And it presumes God cannot introduce anything completely new. Isaiah 43, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new," as in completely new. "Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." They must be pounding over there. Sorry. So the point is, linear growth is the default expectation of our flesh, as opposed to our spirit. The sinful nature desires a linear growth path. Why? Because we're impatient. We like to trust only in ourselves and in our own capabilities. We like to control, and we like quick recognition. And of course, I've done all this. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to one another, so you do not do what you truly want." But I don't think very many people that I've heard or read of talk about the war between the flesh and the Spirit interfering with our growth as a company. So the other thing is, our flesh is naturally tending toward the linear growth path, but also, we don't understand the exponential growth path. We really don't. So let me give you an example. Okay, there's an empty bottle with one bacteria in it. It's 11 o'clock. And it's going to divide every minute, and by noon, it will be full. Okay? If you've heard this, it's a classic example. I'm not trying to be original here. I'm just trying to get the point. So the question is, if at noon it's full and 11 it starts, when is it half full? Okay? So make up your mind. I answered this wrong, by the way, first time, just so you know. So this is how we think, right? Okay, 11, right? And then it goes to 11:15, right? 11:30, 11:45, and 12, right? Totally wrong, right? This is how it looks like, right? You're in the 50s, 11:50s, and you're down here. Would you invest in a company that was down here? Only the wisest do, right? You always hear about there's a banker in New Mexico famous because he turned down Bill Gates for a loan when he was in a motel doing his coding, thinking about a company that he was going to call Microsoft, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And, you know, he didn't see it, obviously. So if you look at it, here's the growth, here's the actual growth function. It looks like that. You talk about a non-linear growth path. Well, it's linear sideways. So the real question is, when would the bacteria be afraid of running out of space? It's a classic example, so I apologize if you've heard it before. When would the bacteria be afraid of running out of space? Like right here, when there's a few seconds left? Too late. Sorry. You know, you have to plan very, very far ahead. So you have the long slog, and you have liftoff, right? So to put it into words, an exponential growth curve typically appear to have a long, flat tail, lower growth, and then shoot up into the sky, right? Higher growth. Did anyone catch what I just said wrong? People do not understand the exponential growth curve. The growth rate is the same the entire time by the equation. It comes from doubling the growth at each new level that came before. It's still 5% or 7% growth the entire time, right? The problem is, we don't like being in here. That's why we honor those investors that somehow can look that far ahead, way before the liftoff happens, and they say, "I think this company's going to go big." Very few people can do that. Very few people understand the exponential growth curve. So let me play you one more, and I have to find it because there's only one part that you need to hear. This is a fabulous video, by the way. He's speaking to the Saudi royal family.
2,000 scientists, millions of people. That's going to be hundreds of years away. But that is, in fact, exactly what happened because of the power of exponential growth. In 1990, the Genome Project was announced. This was not a mainstream project. A few renegade scientists actually saw that this was progressing exponentially. I agreed with them, and we all felt that it would take 15 years. But mainstream scientists said, there's no way you're going to sequence the whole human genome in only 15 years, because in 1989, we only collected 1/10,000th of the genome. This is going to take centuries. Halfway through the project, the skeptics were still going strong because only 1% of the human genome had been sequenced. So they're saying, okay, 7 years, 1%, it's going to take 700 years, just like we said. My reaction was, no, we're almost done. Once you get to 1% in an exponential progression, that's only 7 doublings from 100%. 1% a year later would be 2%, then 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. 7 years later should be finished. And that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. So that's a perfect example of misunderstanding the exponential growth curve. Okay, so here's the other question. Do you really desire linear growth? Really? I don't know about you, but if it was long term, I'd rather have that. This is a great graphic that I found. You start here, right? And when you're starting, you have disappointment because the expectation of our flesh is that it should be linear. And so we're way down here and we get discouraged. But if you're faithful, you can end up here. I mean, everyone's talking about the Museum of the Bible, right? Well, how do you fund a $1.2 billion project? You get to here. So let's look at some verses, because the Bible is the most important. Genesis 15:5, and he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens, count the stars if you're able to count them." And God said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Exponential growth. And of course, the growth spark, the ability to grow, comes from God. "So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." Most of the time, we don't believe that. Matthew 13, "For you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." This verse has always bothered me until now. "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." What does that sound like? It sounds exponential. So, of course, you know, the Green family came the last couple years, and I was able to get this from Terrence. 1991 to 2015, right? That looks awfully like the exponential growth curve, right? The problem is you don't see the first part. 91, they started in 71. So they had 20 years of it flat. Right? 20 years, just as long of it being flat. And of course, we come to a conference, we're like, "Oh my gosh, they're amazing. Look at them. You know, they're way up here, right?" Well, 20 years ago, no one would have cared. But they were still being faithful, to double what they could. So there are so many lessons I could go on for a long time, but let's get into some of them. So the only way to get to the exciting part is to faithfully handle the long slog where God creates our character that can handle the success. You know, I often use this example, but it's a very sad one. You know, I don't know if you all listen very much to the music of Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was amazing. He was so talented, but he was hit so early with so much success that it drove him crazy. And you see this all the time. Whereas what's funny is you see people like the Greens and others, Chick-fil-A, where it's taken them a long time. Because I think the Lord's way is He doesn't want us to get to the top and then dishonor Him. What good is it to get all the way to the top and you totally dishonor the Lord? How awful. So during that time, the long slog, you have to trust that God will eventually, keyword, eventually, holding on to the promise, just like Abraham, bring you and your company to completion, that He will keep His promises. Wasn't that the song we sang this morning? He will keep His promises. I love that. In the long meantime, you need patience. You need diligence. You need perseverance. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, perseverance proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we can go to the top and not dishonor the Lord. Here's another lesson, which is really freeing. All you have to focus on, you don't have to focus on being the next whatever, whoever is already great. All you have to focus on is doubling what you have been given right now. In fact, if you don't do that, you're going to fail. Because the only way that you can go, right, from here, to double, right, is to focus on doubling only what you have been given. It's really easy to get discouraged, or not only discouraged, but discouraged and distracted during that time. Parable of the Talents is a great great example. I did enjoy this year, after Bruce Wilkinson spoke, looking at the differences between the parable of the minas and the parable of the talents. If you ever want to do a Bible study, it's actually fascinating. They are two very different stories. Parable of the talents talks about doubling. Parable of the minas is a little different. Something that my whole staff knows, I've been geeking out about this year. I've been trying to bring things down to the most simple so that we can grow. And Steve Jobs said, greatness is a function of focus and simplicity. You can take that and run with it. But with all due respect to Steve Jobs, he did not know Jesus. And one of my favorite videos is called The Truth Project. Have you ever watched The Truth Project? And the way that starts is Del Tackett is asking all these very smart graduate students in theology, why did Jesus say He came? And of course they were all, oh, to redeem us from our sins. Great answer, no. And he goes through they give all their answers, and every single one of them is a no. And then he says, Jesus said something very specific. He said, for this I have been born, for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. That's it. So, with all respect to Steve Jobs, I would do this. Greatness is focus plus simplicity plus truth. You know what George Barna was talking about? 7% of Christians believe in, what was it? 30-something percent, right? Believe in absolute truth. And I'm talking here absolute truth. As in, the galaxies are made of the same mathematical function as your DNA. You can't get away from it. So the question is, in your particular situation, whatever that may be, what is the truth, like absolute truth, and how can you focus on it and make it simple? And that achieves greatness. Because, of course, the truth is a person. Okay, another lesson. This is huge, especially to anyone who is in the thick of things, in that long slog. You feel like a phony. You really, really do. You will feel like a wannabe through the entire long slog. You have to trust God to bring it to completion. So for a long time, think about it. How many years did Abraham have the promise and there aren't any kids? I'm supposed to have descendants, you know, like sand on the seashore. Well, I don't see any. Sorry. He was a wannabe for a long time. In fact, most of his life, he was a wannabe. David was a wannabe king for many years, decades, right? And of course, you could have said Jesus was a wannabe savior until he did it, until he rose from the dead. Building capacity. So I think God gives us the long slog so that we can build the capacity to go up here. Because as we all know, honestly, I think Satan gifts people. I really do. I think he loves to give people quick success and just watch them train wreck. I think he loves it. I think we don't think of Satan gifting people, but I think he does. And God knows us and he loves us. He wants us to get up to here where it's wonderful, but he loves us enough that he's not going to just do it quickly so that we destroy ourselves. But you have to build capacity personally, as a leader. You have to build capacity in your organization. Otherwise, you won't make the tipping point, right, to getting to the liftoff. Again, to look at these, you have spiritual maturity and servant leadership. Right? God may take you through a long slog so that you learn those things. He may take you through a long slog in your business so you get true organizational excellence. We've been following Horst Schulze's practical methods for over a decade, and you keep on learning. So the point is, choose wisely, to use my favorite Indiana Jones quote. You really have two paradigms. And by the way, it is actually really practical. Because if you assume that there's going to have linear growth, but you've truly given your company to the Lord, you're going to get disappointed most of the time. Because he loves you enough that he's not going to do that. Now, if you haven't given your company to the Lord, rock on. Linear growth. Enjoy. But for those who have seriously understood that Christ bought us at a price, you have only one option. The Lord made the world. He made the world to work in a certain way. Take the time. You have time. And look forward to that day. But I'm not done. Let's do a case study. So everyone's going to laugh at this. So I'm getting ready to turn 40. And it's been surprisingly hard because we live in a culture that says that our growth path for life is this. And of course, that's why I was so glad to have you sit up front, Joe, because Joe bucks that trend in every possible way. But our culture all around us, I am done. Do you realize that? I'm supposed to be done. I'm turning 40, and I'm not there. So I'm a failure. I'm a wannabe. We live in a youth-worshipping culture, without a doubt. And it gets to the point where it's absolutely ridiculous. 29-year-old Angelina Jolie played the mother of 28-year-old Colin Farrell and Alexander. She was one when she had him. How great. Robert Downey Jr., he's playing Iron Man, right? Or Marissa Tomei and Diane Lane are playing the mother figures of superheroes. All three actors are 51. Ridiculous. 37-year-old Maggie Gyllenhaal was told she's too old to play the love interest of a 55-year-old man. Olivia Wilde was deemed too old to romance Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, which I've never seen. Despite the fact that she's 9 years younger than him, the role eventually went to Margot Robbie, 16 years. She was okay. You see this all the time. In fact, we don't even note it anymore because it happens all the time. But what's God's approach to our aging? This is what's crazy. So I'm turning 40, and I'm just starting. I'm still in the apprenticeship stage. And I'm down here, and it really stinks. because you're getting to the point, you know, we've been doing business for 17 years. That's good. But I haven't been doing business as long as Joe. But I truly believe, and this is the most encouraging idea that I know of right now, that God's approach to our aging is that we should do this all the way to the end. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. The long slog takes patience, perseverance, and humility." So I believe we're meant to expand our influence and impact exponentially until the day we die. That's a new thought. It was a new thought to me. Maybe you all, most people are wiser than me, and so they maybe you already know it. But this was a quote that I overheard. I can't for the life of me remember who it was. I apologize. In my 60s, I doubled the influence I had in my 50s. But in my 70s, I had more influence than the rest of my life combined. Now, isn't that the way we should aim for it? You know more. You have a lot more years under your belt. I don't know if that's encouraging to you, but it's encouraging to me. And this last part, I saw this article right when it came out, February 26, 2015, so last year. So Irving Kahn was the oldest active Wall Street investor, and he died at 109. Less than 6 months before, he was commuting 3 days a week across Manhattan to his firm, where his son was the chairman, his son was the CEO, his grandson was the director of research, and his great-grandson was somebody else. And what's really cool is the people in this room, there are many industries where you can't do this. They kick you out at 65 because you're too old, right? Engineering, a lot of places. But if you're a creator of companies, then maybe you can orchestrate it in such a way that you have influence till the day you die. But what's interesting, 109. You got 27 years. That's a long time. That's a whole career.
I'll see you here 27.
But what I wonder is, we all of you are probably thinking the exact same thing as me. Oh, good genetics, right? But what if it's wrong? What if he had a different approach to aging and he thought, no, I've got wisdom, I've got experience, I'm going to make it happen so that I can keep on having purpose till the day you die. Of course, you know, I don't believe in retirement. It's amazing how many people retire and 2 years later they're dead. But I just thought this was a great story that explains, like, he was rocking and rolling until he was 108. How awesome is that? So, of course, I love the words of Winston Churchill, never, never, never give up. Because if life truly is an exponential growth path, then you really don't want to be this guy. Turn around right before you hit it. So, That's it. Thank you. Any questions? Do we have time for questions? Wow. Not bad. I did it faster than I thought. Yes, sir. Did he really? Wow. Wow, that's awesome. Well, no wonder. He was busy, he had purpose, and he was still trying to keep healthy. 109. Yeah. One thing that I would say that I didn't say in here is the bigger your vision, the bigger the foundation, the longer the slog. That's painful. But I think it's true. I mean, that picture of Hobby Lobby, if you take their entire growth path, it's a perfect exponential growth path. But the first 20 years are just flat.
A lot of that was figuring it out.
Well, do you remember Steve Green? He said, the first 20 years, we didn't even do any ministry. Isn't that amazing? They were just trying to figure out the nuts and bolts of organizational excellence in their business. Well, boy, they're sure doing ministry now. Yes, sir?
Can you call me if you have any idea what was the figures they were making, the sales figures in terms of on the 20th year, any idea?
For Hobby Lobby?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I apologize. I'm sure that probably Terrence or... you probably could look it up. I think in 91. Yeah, I'm trying to think I could find that. I'm not sure. But I mean, they already by 91, they had three or four stores by then. And then they learned how to do it. You got to learn how to do it. Takes 20 years, and then you can start to replicate, and you go on and on. Yes, sir?
You mentioned Trick Hampton and Chipotle. Trick, who brought the car to a hole in the wall, eatery near a horn plant that went on for about
15
years or so, and then he hooked up with the guy named Colonel Sanders, and he did a kind of a big unit, and learned a little bit more about chicken and everything, and then he had a big fire, and the thing burned down.
That's right.
In the meantime, he's just trying to improve his product and everything he's doing, and all of a sudden he came up with this little bread and chicken breast thing, and he started, he's very successful. He actually kind of licenses other people, and he opened a little house in Greenbrier Mall. And so basically, he's pretty much flat, inflation adjusted for 20 years, and then like that.
Yep. But I can tell you personally, this misunderstanding has caused me a lot of pain in my life. Because you're supposed to be linear growth path. You know, I was telling some friends last night that, within a few months of graduating from my master's degree, some of my friends were at the White House. And I was starting a little teeny tiny business. But the race goes to the patient, for sure.
Where are they now?
I think divorced. And doing other stuff in D.C. But sometimes you see that. You see that initial spike. And then life takes over. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, a very powerful paradigm that changes your whole way of looking at growth. And I truly hope it was helpful. Yes, sir?
If I knew you were going to do this, I'd walk the curve for my company. It was just like that. Well, but I don't show the whole thing there. I just decide to chop it off. Started in 71, when we take off the first 15 or so years.
Right.
Year, and then we start going up from there. But I didn't realize this was all behind us like that.
Yeah.
I live in a retirement community. When I was 65, I couldn't afford to move in there.
Yeah.
Then a few years later, I could just afford to not even sell my house and just pay gas for it. I mean, just...
Yep. Yeah, you should display that on your company growth path, because that's the badge of honor.
Well, people don't understand that. Unless they really got into it, really.
No, they think linearly, and they say, why did you take so long?
I never had this explained, but it's super amazing.
But, well, that's right.
A creative thought would be to put on your business card where you are in the Fibonacci number on the progressive path I'm working on.
Yeah.
And then they'll have to engage everyone in a conversation on what Fibonacci growth pattern is, and you can, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about the people being successful and how long it takes and everything. MIT, I like the first, and I have Master of Yale.
Yeah.
And the guys that were top guys, I ran the track team, the top track guy, he grew up competitively, I was just on the team. But he was the top student, top grade when he graduated, president of the class too. And a few years later, he was a professor, and he did all these great things, and then he died of AIDS. Mm. And that was just like, but so many people, more than half of them are dead.
I think life is a gift.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think if you're going to waste it,
yeah,
the Lord will take it away.
Sure.
I think he has every right to.
Yeah.
But for those who are really like Irving Kahn, if you're going to use it, who knows? Especially with medicine moving where it is now. Like, a lot of us could easily hit 100. Yes, ma'am.
Aren't the millennials, is this characteristic of them to want it now, to want everything,
yep,
and to have that entitlement attitude, but isn't this going to be exasperated with the millennials?
You know, I think it's every young person that has ever lived. Honestly, I think you need it because it's that drive that keeps you going through that initial really hard part where you're just getting started. You're going from, like the Genome Project, 1/10,000th to 1,000th. You know, you don't even show up on any curve yet. You need that hope and that impatience to drive you forward. Because once you get, you know, over here, you're more measured in your pace. Yeah.
I think another good company that for you to study that I think kind of showed the same sort of growth pattern even over a longer period is the Lego company, because they started back,
correct,
in the 40s. It was a group of believers, a family that started it, and last year they were the number one toy company in the world.
Yep.
Like, and they make one type of product.
Yep. IKEA too. IKEA now uses 1% of the world's lumber. Literally 1% of the total world's lumber. IKEA. And they did the same. It's amazing. Once you get this, you start seeing it everywhere. It just changes everything. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I can even see it, you know, this pattern in everything, in relationships.
Sure.
Perseverance. Sure. Weight loss goals, fitness goals, our health. It's like, you go, like, forget it, it's too hard.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, everything. I haven't found anything that you can't really apply it to yet. I mean, there's some people that I think are just a lot smarter than me, and they can make it go up faster. You know, wonderful. You have 5 talents. I have 2. But the question is what you ultimately do in the long run, and whether you can last. Yeah, Joe. Yeah.
But this is where it's good to make sure what you're getting into, that the Lord will guide you.
Yeah. Bill, did you have some?
I was just going to add to what Joe was saying. The central piece to all of this is continually going back to the Lord and saying, okay, what do we do next?
Right.
What's your plan? How do you proceed?
Yep. How do I double only what I've been given?
That's right. And let him always be the one at the helm. You never take the steering wheel away.
Yep.
Always continue.
And you just, you may be older when you hit that, but that's okay.
But that's the most productive time
ever. Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I work with public companies, and there's this pressure to meet the quarterly earnings.
Yes.
Not to go too far, okay, because your compensation is based on this. And I also know that the Russian weightlifters, what they used to do is they hold back. They were paid bonuses for the incremental improvement. So the psychology sometimes is that don't use those kinds of measures to hold you back from experiencing the exponential growth. The other thing is, when I'm with companies, the most exciting part of the company is that long, what do you call it?
The long slog.
Yeah, and see, and that's where they, when they write the books about success, that's where the battle is. So don't let that part mean that, hey, I'm just going to wait to see what happens.
Oh, no.
Before I go exponential. Because the exponential almost is then you're kind of an oversight, you're kind of making sure it works. But the hard work, and that's why I wanted to work with companies to tell them, hey, this part right here is not only persevering and hanging on, but this is where you really expand yourself, you fight the battle, you work with God, you do everything, but that's the fun part.
Yeah.
And then the other part is kind of boring when you're on a plane, and then they get rid of you because you're not suitable anymore for that exponential growth.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't build the capacity in the long slog to handle the growth, like what would, did you all see it was the greatest Super Bowl commercial I've ever seen. Do you remember where they had the Super Bowl commercial where they're getting ready to start their company? They're going to launch an internet company, and it's an internet orders. And they're like, okay, you ready? Yes. And they press enter, and they have a little thing up here, and it shows the orders, and suddenly you see, you know, three orders. Oh, great, great, you know. And then, you know, 50, oh, fantastic, you know, and then 100, yes, you know, and then it goes like 10,000, and it keeps on going, and then you just see them go, oh my goodness, as it goes up into the millions. That's a perfect example of this. Yeah. Right.
There's that sense of entitlement that is the problem, not the desire to be in that.
Right.
But the Lord creates.
And it can lead to quitting too soon. Oh, I went through my degrees and I started my career and it's been 3 years and I'm not, you know, famous yet. I'm going to quit. Well, then all you'll do is you'll jump from one exponential growth curve to another. I don't know if it changes for those who do not follow the Lord. But I would think it's the same because the Lord created the world. It doesn't matter what you think of it, right? His natural rules are going to apply no matter what. So I think they're saying that we are time. So thank you all very much. It was a pleasure.